Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you, if you would look with me to the book of John in chapter 1. John chapter 1. We're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 5 this morning. The Gospel of John chapter 1. If you would, go ahead and stand with me. We'll read the Word of God together as I read. You can follow right along with me. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we do bow before you this morning, again, we thank you for the blessings of our assembling ourselves together in your presence in this place, what we've already received in this service. But now, Father, as we get into the preaching of thy word, I just pray, God, that you would empower it. I ask, God, that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Verse 5, the Bible says, "And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." That word "comprehended" right there means to seize or grasp, to take it in. As we read the verses here this morning, these five verses, very powerful verses, you'll find that it's the beginning of the New Testament. You go back into the book of Genesis, and the first few verses there was, "In the beginning God created." And I believe the book of John here in the first few verses are the same as the book of Genesis in giving us insight into what God has for us and the understanding of what God has for us. And with humanity in the beginning, with creation, in the book of Genesis, the beginning of all things. And then we see the beginning of this New Testament church age by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, we find these powerful words in John in chapter 1. They reveal that Christ, who was a Son of God, who was the Word, who was there with God, who was God, as being God the Son, he came to this earth as light and was rejected. This world is in spiritual darkness because of sin. John, over a couple pages there in John chapter 3 and verse 19, it says this, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved." So the light was the understanding of God and godliness. It was the understanding of the nature of God and the ways of God. And the world was in darkness because it was just the opposite of light. And it was a sin that made the world dark. Today, we live in a world that is divided. Now, different people would have different concepts of the division, and we could speak of many divisions. In the United States of America, I think the division that most would probably identify and relate to would be a political division of a Republican and Democrat. And right now, the nation is divided and talking about impeachments and all the different things that have taken place. It's impacting our nation. There's the divisions with that of the liberals and the division of the liberals and the conservatives and how people identify themselves. Most people in the United States will identify themselves as either Republican or Democrat, either liberal or conservative. But there's also the divisions of color. And no doubt that's still a division in society today. There's a division in race. There's a division in gender. There's even a division in rich and the poor. Dividing in how they think and how they live. All these different divisions, but can I tell you this morning, the most important division that we have in society today, which I believe leads to the division of all these others, began some 2,000 years ago. And we find here in John chapter 1, the first five verses reveal to us what happened some 2,000 years ago. When Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God, which was light, came to this earth. And the darkness comprehended it not. Didn't take it in. Didn't seize it. Didn't grasp it. Rejected it. Jesus addresses this division, and this is the most important division that we have to face. Can I tell you, if we would face and get rid of the division, I believe that that would take care of every other division that we have in society. In heaven, there will be no darkness. It will all be light, and there will be no divisions of any kind in heaven. So we find here in the book of the Gospels, we find here that Jesus taught parables. And in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, I don't want you to see this idea of division. It is a division of light and darkness. And all of us here today are, you're on one side or the other. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 13, and he had given a parable, the wheat and the tares, and we find in verse 38 that he starts describing what this was. In verse 38 of Matthew chapter 13, we find here that Jesus said, "The field is the world, and the good seed," or the wheat, as he had given the parable, the wheat and the tares. "The wheat are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one." Now he's dividing the world up between, and the parable would be the wheat and the tares. The wheat being the children of God, which would be the light, and the tares being the children of the devil, which would be the darkness. "The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world." Now he's revealing this to us. He's given them the answer, you know, of the parable that he had just presented. And he says, "The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, the sin that causes the darkness of the world, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as a sun." These are the light in the kingdom of their Father. Then he says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Jesus knew that he came as the light, and he knew that he would be rejected by the darkness. And then as he lived his life and his adult life and the years of ministry we find here, he presented these parables to helping people to understand. He used this as a symbol of the wheat and the tares. be speaking of the light and the darkness. On over in Matthew chapter 25, he uses another analogy, one that they would have understood, and that would be the difference between the sheep and the goats. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 31, he says, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory," he came as a sacrificial lamb the first time. "When he returns, he's going to return in his glory. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, all humanity. And he shall separate them one from the other." There's just one separation. In the whole world, there's one separation. The most important division is this light and darkness. So he again is making this point, and he's using the illustration of the sheep and the goats. "Before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." If you would study the life of Christ and you would study the parables, and when he would present this idea of salvation, when he would present this idea of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that's what he came to preach. He's presenting it to a world that was filled with darkness, controlled by sin. And darkness comprehended it not. So unbelievers who reject Christ are living in darkness. If you study the Bible, there's no doubt about that's what he's revealing. Those who rejected him are continuing to live in darkness because they've rejected the light. Believers, those who would call themselves Christians, are those who have received Christ and are living in the light. There's a huge difference. 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 in the book of Bible. Let me just read it to you. You might write it down, but 2 Corinthians in chapter 6 in verse 14, the Bible says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers," talking to those that are in lightness, who have received Christ, uniting with those that are living in darkness, that have not Christ. "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness?" That's one of the dividing points. What is right in God's eyes and what's right in man's eyes? "And what communion hath light with darkness?" There's no communion. You have darkness, it's void of light. If you have light, it's void of darkness. You go into a dark room, you turn on the light, the darkness leaves. You turn off the light, it's filled with darkness. Two different things. There's no communion. And then he goes on in identifying this. He says, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial?" What kind of common ground is there between Christ and the devil? And there are none. "And what part hath he that believeth with an infidel," an unbeliever? "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. He's saying that there is a division. And the division that we need to pay most attention to is the division of light and darkness. The dividing line is Jesus Christ. John chapter 1. Our text, follow with me here. We're going to make some applications here, but, and the light shineth in darkness. Jesus came to bring lightness to the world, to bring God's plan of righteousness to the world, to bring an opportunity to be restored and reunited with God as your heavenly Father. To be redeemed, to be forgiven of your sins, to be cleansed of your sin, which we're born with a sin nature. So we're living in darkness if we don't have Jesus Christ. Christ Jesus came to bring light into darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Verse 9. That was the true light, Jesus Christ, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He gives the spirit of life. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Darkness knew him not. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was a fulfillment of the prophecy to the Jews of the Old Testament, the children of God, the chosen nation of God. He was prophesied as the Messiah to come. His own received him not. But as many as received him, from the very beginning there was those that believed in him and received him and became the light along with him of the world. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Wow. The dividing line is Jesus Christ. Those on his right are those that have received him, which would be known as the wheat or the sheep. Those on his left would be those living in darkness, which would be the tares or the illustration of the goats. There's variations on both sides. Christ is the dividing line. If you're saved here this morning, you're on the right side of the dividing line. If you've rejected Jesus Christ, you've never trusted in him, you've never asked him to come in your heart and to save you from your sins, be your Savior, you're on the left, on the darkness side. But there's variations. Spiritually, there's a huge step from darkness to light. Either lost or you're saved. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. That's just what the Bible teaches. If you're on the left side of Christ, which is the dark side of Christ, then you do not have everlasting life. You have not been given a gift of everlasting life because you have not comprehended him as being your Savior, your only hope to go to heaven. You've not believed in him and trusted in him, asked him as your Savior. You're on the left side. You're on the side of the tares. You're on the side of the goats. You do not have everlasting life. But if you have received Jesus Christ, I received Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old. I was around the teachings of Christ, and I believe we come to an age of accountability earlier if we're around the teachings of Christ and in the church and you're raised in a Christian home, that type of thing. And I come under conviction, realize I was lost. As an eight-year-old boy, I didn't have a lot of worldly experience, didn't have a lot of understanding, but I did know that I was lost, and I believed that Jesus was the only way to me going to heaven. And I remember as an eight-year-old boy asking Christ into my heart and saving me. I've been saved ever since. But I've not always been in the same position. I've always, since that day, I've been on the right side. I've been on the side of light. But there's a lot of variations of those that are saved. It goes from salvation, if you will, dim, it's still light, but you don't have a lot of understanding. You still maybe have some darkness of the world still in your life and still in your mind and still in your whatever it might be. So it's a dim light, but it's light. It's a dim light that goes all the way to the brightest light, and that is being Christ and Christ-like. Yeah. On the other side, the side of the wheat and the side of the tares, there's variations of being lost. There is that is as black and as dark as you can possibly get, as far away from the light, and there's so much evil and there's so much, probably even demon-possessed. Tonight we're finishing up our study on angelology, and we're looking at the demonology, and we've been studying some of that tonight. We'll finish that up with understanding strongholds and demon possession, which is still a reality in the world. But that is about as black, as dark, that's as evil as some people like al-Baghdadi that was just killed because of his evil ways. They don't get much worse than that. But that's not every lost person. That goes from the total blackness, and they start coming up in those variations to where maybe a gray, but they're still on the left side. They're still lost because they've never truly received Jesus Christ. They've been influenced by Christianity. Anybody in America, you've been influenced by Christianity, whether you realize it or not, whether you received it or not. How you were raised, how our laws that govern our nation, everything about society has been influenced by Jesus Christ. Our forefathers founded this United States of America using the King James Bible. And that was in the offices. There's no doubt if you look back, don't let people blind you to that. You look back to the history of our country. God played a very important part in the establishing of the United States of America. No matter what they say, get out of your currency. The most important thing for most nations is the wealth. And on our wealth, on our currency, it's in God we trust. You can't tell me he didn't have a huge impact. And so in America, you see, we are more accountable because there has been more light shed on America. That's why there's not as much demon possession, because the darkness has not been as bad. There's still darkness. Still on the left side. Spiritually, there's a huge step from darkness to light, because tares are gathered and burned and wheat are gathered and taken to glory. That's a huge step. But physically, there's not so huge. What we can see and what God sees is different. In the Bible, we have a Bible character named Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, by all that could see, everything that could be viewed by man, because all we can see is the outside. There's not one of the disciples, the apostles, would have thought that Judas was lost. Because on the outside, he looked just like all the rest of the apostles. He was following Christ. They had enough trust in him. They allowed him to take care of their finances. They had to trust him. They had to believe that he was part of those on the right side of Christ. But he was not. He was one who looked, come as close to Christ in his appearance without receiving Christ and being put on the right side. He was still a tare. He was still a goat. No matter how different the darkness is, if you're on the left side, you're not saved. Wow. Then on the other hand, we find Saul, who was a persecutor of the church. But Saul on the Damascus Road got saved. And even Saul, who had persecuted the church, is now, because he trusted in Jesus Christ and made him Lord of his life, he said, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" He was placed from the dark side. He was placed from the tare side to the wheat side, to the light side. But everybody at that time looked to Saul and said, "He's got to be lost." Because we don't see what God sees. We see somebody that was ruthless. We see somebody that had persecuted the church. How could this person be on the bright side now? How could this person be saved? And most of them wouldn't even have anything to do with Saul because they didn't see him as being one that had been saved. Can I tell you that physically some lost appear more likely to be saved than some who are saved? Because there's variations of darkness. But no matter what variation you are, no matter how you dress up and what church you're a member of, all the different things. If you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're always going to be on the dark side. You're always going to be in darkness. But when you make the decision to receive Jesus Christ, can I tell you, you go from the darkness to the light. You go from going to a place of fire and burning in a place of hell to a place where you're going to be taken to glory. Amen. Even though you might not look as Christ-like as some on the dark side. Are you following me this morning? Amen. Because not everybody that says they're saved is saved. And we start trying to compare and trying to figure things out. It's not about an outward appearance. It starts with your belief in Jesus Christ. You either receive him or you comprehend him not. And you stay in darkness. So what motivates and guides us? That's the key. Some people have a hard time saying, "Preacher, I just don't know if I'm saved or if I'm not saved. And I've done this and I've gone through the plan 100 times. And I've said, Lord, if I wasn't saved then, save me now." I think all of us have been there at some point in life, especially if you got saved early on in life. Because you're a different person than what you were then. You have a lot more world knowledge. You have a lot more different things going on inside of you. And did I really get saved when I was 8 or didn't I? Did I get saved when I was a teenager? Or did I really mean it when I said this? There's variations. But there is a dividing line. And the dividing line is Christ. What have you done with Christ? If you believe him to be the Son of God, if you believe that he was the Savior of the world, you believe that he went to Calvary's cross with you in mind, he paid your sin debt. Not only was he sacrificed on Calvary's cross, he was buried, but on the third day he resurrected. And if you believe that Jesus Christ died and was buried and resurrected again, and you trust in him to be your Savior, and you ask him to forgive you for your sins and to come into your heart and save you, listen to me, what you've done with Christ will determine what side of Christ you're on. You're struggling because of your variation. If you are saved, you're struggling because you're staying too far over to the right side. You're still in dimness. You've not come closer and closer to the light, because the closer you get to the light, the more the darkness will flee, because you'll see it as sin. You'll see it as wrong. And you get close to God. You get close to Jesus Christ, and you have to get rid of the darkness to get as close to him as he wants you to be. And there's no doubt when you get close to him, or you're in darkness, and you start cleaning up your life. You think in self-reform, that'll do it. You even get to the place, and Satan will allow you to do some self-reform. You even get to the place where you think that you're going to go to heaven because you're a good person. You're going to go to heaven because I'm a member of a church. I'm going to go to heaven because I'm a giver. But you've missed the most important thing of all. You're a sinner in need of a Savior. And there's only one Savior. There's only one way to get placed on the light, placed in the light, and that is through the blood of Jesus Christ. And you have to know that. And you have to confess yourself as being a lost sinner. And you have to see him as being the Savior. It's the only way. There's a dividing line. So what motivates and guides us? That's the key. That's what will give you assurance or not. Colossians in chapter 2. I'm just about done. You have to know this. This is important stuff. In the book of Colossians in chapter 2. The lost live in spiritual darkness. You still do. No matter how much you've cleaned up the outside, no matter how much your appearance looks like Christ, if you've not received Christ, you're still living in darkness. As you live in darkness, you're going to be more heavily influenced by this world's philosophies. Even this world's religious philosophies, which for the most part is just be a good person, be a moral person, be a giver. But that's a philosophy. It's not what the Bible teaches. Now, once you're saved, yes, you ought to be a giver. You ought to be a moral person. Amen. Salvation, faith, leads to works and Christlikeness. But works do not get you on the light side. It does not bring salvation into your life. So if you're still in darkness and you're going to be more heavily influenced by the world's philosophies, the world's popularities, it's popular to agree with this kind of morality today, especially when you have so-called churches endorsing this kind of lifestyle. And you're more apt to accept that because you're not being led by the Spirit of God. You're more apt to be influenced by the movements of this world, jumping on whatever bandwagon that might be in that generation. Because generations, people change. this 21st century generation and the society is a different society than it was the first century. A lot of things that contribute to that, the technology and a lot of other things, and that the generations and societies change. But one thing that doesn't change, that's the Word of God. But if you're not on the light side, if you're not being motivated by the Holy Spirit of God, you're going to be more apt to be influenced by philosophies and popularities and movements, the 21st century Christianity instead of a first century Christianity. And Christ established Christianity in the first century with the truths that are still prevalent today and applicable today and absolutes that never change. Too many are relying upon and following after 21st, so-called 21st century Christianity, which is not true Christianity. It is the philosophies and popularities and the movements of this earth and of this society. We're warned. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments or the ways of the world, and not after Christ, who is the center, the dividing point of light and darkness. The saved, however, are motivated and they're guided by the light that is in them. The darkness, if you've not received Christ, you still do not have the light. You have darkness, no matter how you have cleaned up the outside. You still have darkness. You need light on the inside. And once you get light on the inside, it starts changing us from the inside out. You might just have a dim light, but it's light. You just might be 8 years old, but it's light. And when you get light at 8 years old, it's going to impact your life for the rest of your life. That light is going to be there because it's living inside of you. And it's going to make a difference. It will impact your life. If you have light in you at any stage of life, when you receive light, it will impact you because it will be a motivator. It will be something that will guide you. Because that's what the Bible says. John chapter 14. Let me read to you. Verse 16. Jesus says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Jesus came bringing the light, and he was a comfort. He was a comforter. And now he says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because they're still in darkness. And they have not received Christ. They have not comprehended the light. And so he says, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you. As soon as you get saved, he's inside and he wants to teach you. He wants to guide you. He's going to motivate you. That's the difference. What motivates and guides us will tell you whether or not you're saved. Are you more motivated by the world and the philosophies and the religion and the movements of the world? Are you more motivated and guided by something inside of you that brings you conviction when you do wrong and gives you peace when you do right? Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I, Jesus Christ, the dividing line, have said unto you in the first century. outside John. You ought to want to know. And you can know. Outside John. The world's divided between light and darkness. The dividing line is Jesus Christ, the light. The question to ask yourself, what is motivating and what is guiding me in my life? If it's not Jesus, if it's not the Bible, if it's not the Holy Spirit that brings light inside of you, you're not saved. Don't let Satan convince you you are when you're not. You're right there. You might be looking more Christ-like than somebody on the other side, but if you're on this left side, you're still a tare. You're still a goat. You're still in darkness. But you can change that today. God has made it so simple an 8-year-old boy can understand it and receive it. You can receive it today. Don't die in darkness. Give your life to Christ and receive the light today. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. All the other divisions, and yeah, we can name a lot of them. We could have debates on them, but the most important one to focus on today. It might take care of all the other divisions. Is light and darkness. Have you received the light of Christ? Father, we bow before you now. We love you. Thank you for the truth. And thank you for this book of John, especially this introduction. Lord, what a blessing it is to know who Jesus is and what he brought to this world and what he offers all who will believe. If there's some here today that do not know you as their personal Lord and Savior, I pray today would be the day that they would be saved. If there's believers here that are just dim and there's got all the confusion, I pray, God, you'd help them to see the answer is to get closer to Christ. And in order to do that is getting rid of the darkness of this world. I pray, God, that you would have your will and your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen.